We lived about 45 minutes outside of Reno, and I went to high school in Reno.
Derek Hinkle grew up in a city that likes to call itself the biggest little city in the world.
It's an industry-driven town. It's driven by the gaming industry. And the gaming industry really goes to this kind of heterosexist mentality. It's really based on the heterosexual male, actually, that's over the age of 21. So I think that there are a lot of ageism issues that come out of that. There's certainly a lot of sexism issues for women and for lesbians and for, you know, anyone who doesn't identify as a traditional gender that come out of that. And I think that another thing that really comes out of Reno is this kind of idea that people are valued in different ways. And what was really clear was when I came out that my life wasn't valued.
Derek didn't even know he was gay when he was a little boy, but he knew something was up. Kids at school knew it too.
Because I was an effeminate kid, kids would call me a sissy, and you know, and that was kind of the terminology. I would ride the bus in the morning for 45 minutes. So I would have to get on the bus, and there was just daily taunts. And as soon as I got on the bus, no one wanted to sit next to me. If there wasn't an open seat, it would be a big deal. If I sat next to someone, it was, you know, this insane thing getting on the bus in the morning. And so I would play Erasure, actually, and blast music and gay music at that, trying to kind of drown out the epithets.
At what point did the harassment actually become physical?
When I was in sixth grade, the largest boy in school held me down while they forced a girl to kiss me, which, you know, I don't necessarily know that I don't think that they knew that I was gay and that I liked boys, but they just kind of saw me as kind of an effeminate boy and wanted to make me tougher. And so that was one of the ways that they did it.
Derek came out to his parents when he was 12 years old. He tried to tell them about all the incidents in school. At the age of 14, you might find it hard to believe that after coming out to his parents and enduring a life of harassment in elementary and middle school, the worst was yet to come for Derek. Some of the kids who harassed him were punished. High school would be another story.
Right after I came out of the closet, it was only, you know, a matter of a week or two after I came out, and I was walking back from lunch, and I was in the middle of my school parking lot, and a group of six students, all boys, surrounded me, and they, you know, were yelling names at me, and they were calling me a fag and calling me a homo, and they surrounded me in the parking lot of my school, and they took out a lasso, and they said, "Let's string up the fag and tie him to the back of our truck and drag him down Mount Rose Highway." They took out the lasso and they got it around my neck three times. And I was able, luckily, to get it off all three times. Had they been any better at lassoing, I really don't think that I would be here.
Derek was able to get away. Even while he was running, the group of boys was still chasing after him, trying to lasso him. Finally, he found a teacher and was able to call the vice principal for help. But help isn't exactly what you'd call it.
It took three calls in an hour and 45 minutes for them to respond to me. And once she got there, she came into the room and she was like, "You know, what's so urgent?" And I was, you know, hysterical. And I said to her, "They tried to throw a neck around my rope." And she laughed at me for not being able to speak correctly and made a joke with the substitute teacher. And then 15 minutes later, at the end of the school day, sent me home on a bus and said, "We'll deal with it in the morning."
Nothing really happened to Derek the next morning. In fact, none of the students involved in the attack was given any kind of disciplinary action. It would become a pattern for Derek. School was a violent atmosphere. Derek's cries for help fell on deaf ears.
Everyone that I ran into would harass me because it became the cool thing to beat up on the gay kid. And because my administration didn't punish anyone, it became completely okay. I remember crying and sitting like at the side of the principal's desk, like on the floor, just shaking. And she came in and she's like, "What's wrong?" And I said, "You need to do something about this. I can't go to school here anymore. Like, I can't be here. Like, people are, you know, trying to kill me."
Eventually, Derek was transferred to an alternative education school. then another school with conditions.
My transfers were conditioned upon me remaining in the closet. And I was told that sexuality was a bedroom matter and not a classroom matter, and that if I, you know, I could go to school, but I was not to talk about being gay.
At the age of 17, Derek finally decided to move. He'd had enough and felt he was being denied an education. He went to Atlanta, and his life changed forever. He discovered other gay youth and became a volunteer and an activist. Ever since then, Derek has been speaking out.
It's really sad to me that my peers, and myself included, have a 3 times higher dropout rate than heterosexual students. And I think that that is alarming when you consider that we make up only 10% of that student populace. It's, you know, it's a very, very hard thing to go from being abused in school and dropping out to going to college. And because of that, we see a third of our community not being educated and not having access to higher education. And I'm really scared about what that means for the future of our movement. I'm also really scared for what that means for those kids, because you have this generation of kids that are flipping burgers, that are thinking that's all their lives will ever be able to achieve, and then they're putting guns in their mouths, or they're, you know, overdosing on drugs, or they're doing things to their body that are so negative and so horrible because of the stigma that they've had to face on their high school campuses.
Derek has been doing more than just speaking out. Recently, he won a $450,000 settlement against the Washoe County School District in Reno, Nevada. The ruling affirms a gay or lesbian student's First Amendment right to be themselves on campus. The district has also been forced to make policy changes that protect gay and lesbian students.
What that says expressly is that no other student in that district will be harassed in the way that I was, or be allowed to be harassed in the way that I was. 85% of my peers are harassed on a daily basis in this country. 46% are physically assaulted on a regular basis. And of that, very few teachers intervene. So I think that, you know, my answer to this problem when I'm talking to gay kids is that they need to know their rights. They need to know that they absolutely are okay, first of all. And that second of all, that they absolutely have the right to go to school, and that going to school in fear is not the way that they need to be going to school.
Derek lives in San Francisco now, a city he's grown quite comfortable in. He's helping to launch a public service campaign to educate gay and lesbian students across the country. Even though he won a landmark lawsuit, and even though his school district has made changes, one thing he never got from any of the schools was an apology. For This Way Out, I'm Brian Goble in San Francisco. You're gonna spend your life.